All right, let's bow our heads as we prepare for the teaching of God's Word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So, Father, I pray that we might take in your truth through pause of volition, and we might continue to appropriate your grace, whereby we can grow, Father. We know apart from you, we can do nothing. We can't live the spiritual life apart from your empowerment. So we pray, Father, that you might illuminate our souls this evening and sanctify the believers here through your truth, because your word is truth. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to the last chapter in the Bible, Revelation 22, verse 18. We're getting close. I thought we'd make it last week. I don't know if we'll make it this week, tell you the truth. There's a lot of content here in the closing verses of the book of Revelation. But we'll read down through the close. We have here in verses 18 and 19 a warning, and then we have a prophecy of Christ's return, his imminent return, and then he closes out with the grace of our Lord. So let's read verse 18. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. As the book of Revelation winds down, we have a warning. And I think this warning extends not only to the book of Revelation, but to the Word of God as a whole. We have what is called the completion of the canon of Scripture. The Lord is about to wrap up his written revelation. And therefore, we have a clear warning against tampering with that revelation. He indicates that the book of Revelation is a prophecy. Notice he mentions in verse 18, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. It's called a prophecy in the beginning in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. It's also called a prophecy at the end of the Bible. Now, I have a lot more to say about that, but basically, prophetic revelation continued with the apostles until the completion of Scripture. God was still using that gift of prophecy, revealing his truth, and John was the last apostle with that prophetic gift. And therefore, as a prophet, he is recording Scripture. No additional prophecy is given, no additional gift of prophecy is given beyond the Apostle John. Otherwise, we'd be adding books to the Bible. And what we'll see here is not to add to the content of the book of Revelation. We have a clear warning of judgment for tampering with the Word of God. We are not to add additional books to the Bible. We are not to take away from what is already written. So let's begin here with this warning in verse 18. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. The Apostle John is testifying, but what's interesting in this Greek word, sum marturo, the idea of sum means together with, we get the word synthesis from this preposition, and the word marturo meaning a martyr, we get the word martyr, or someone who witnesses something. So basically, the idea is to bear witness together. So he's testifying with someone else. And obviously, who's that other person that John is testifying? Jesus is also the one mentioned in verse 20. All we have to do is look down a few verses later and notice the verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming quickly. So the Apostle John is testifying with Lord Jesus concerning the message. He addresses every individual. Pos means all. All means all here. Anyone who would tamper with the Word of God would receive judgment. Judgment. So to everyone who hears the word. And of course, there's a special blessing in light of heeding and hearing what God has in the book of Revelation. There's no other really book of the Bible, obviously, when we study the Bible, there's blessings associated with studying and obeying the Word of God. But we have a particular blessing at the beginning of chapter 1 of Revelation, verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hears the words of this prophecy and keeps those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So we need to study this book because a special blessing is associated with those who study the Word of God and listen to it and obey it. Not just hearing the Word of God, obviously, that is important, but we need to also obey its precepts. Now, going back here then to our text here, the Word of God here is called a prophecy. This book, the book of Revelation, is called a prophecy. Prophetia is the idea of foretelling future events. Obviously, we have events that will unfold after the rapture of the church, beginning clearly in chapter 5, or chapter 6. Well, actually, we have the heavenly scene, courtroom scene in chapters 4 and 5, and then the sealed judgments poured out, chapters 6 and following. But what this book is not called, and I know it's kind of strange to say this, but this book is not called apocalyptic genre. You say, what is that, apocalyptic genre? Well, some scholars have come along and say, how can we interpret the book of Revelation? We need to look at the type of the literature that deals with prophecy. So what they'll do is take books that were written between the Testaments and Jewish apocalyptic literature, like the Book of Enoch and so forth, that are not part of the Word of God. They'll look at that, and the Jews were pessimistic when they wrote that. Of course, they were under oppression, and the Book of Enoch mentioned some events, but basically they were looking at prophecy through a pessimistic lens and a non-literal interpretation. And so scholars will come along and say, we need to interpret the book of Revelation by looking at how these Jews interpreted it. Therefore, we cannot take the Bible literally. We have to look at it in a pessimistic sense. And therefore, they say the book of Revelation is a type of literature called apocalyptic genre. Problem is, the Bible never indicates that. It's called a prophecy. And I would say this, I say that, you know, if you want to understand the book of Revelation, you need to understand the book of Daniel. Because clearly there's far more parallels between Revelation and Daniel than the so-called book of Enoch. Daniel, the Old Testament scripture, as a matter of fact, as I mentioned before, the book of Revelation alludes to the Old Testament over 400 times. Over 400 times. So it's heavily rooted, its symbolisms and prophetic messages is heavily rooted in the Old Testament. And that's consistent with God's revelation. We need to compare, in order to interpret the Bible, we need to compare Scripture with Scripture with Scripture. Therefore, if you have a study Bible, by the way, with a lot of cross-references, I encourage you to study the Bible that way. And I have one book that's really helpful beyond just normal study Bibles, The Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. And it has over 500,000 cross-references. It's pretty exhaustive. But that Treasury of Scripture Knowledge by, I think, Smith is the author. Really helpful. Study Bibles, a lot of your study Bibles. Thompson Chain Reference Bible has a lot of cross-references. That study Bible is built on cross-references. So in order to interpret the book of Revelation, we need to compare Scripture with Scripture. But needless to say, it is called a prophecy. A prophecy. So here, the word, we are not to add to the words. Now notice the words. Obviously, it's not just the idea or big picture idea or thought that God inspired. God inspired the very words of the book of Revelation. He inspired his scripture through words. Therefore, the authority of the Word of God in regard to the book of Revelation is mentioned here. Now, it's called, this book is called a Biblion. We get the word Bible, by the way, from that Greek word. It was a scroll or roll. So the book of Revelation was probably a scroll originally, a papyrus scroll, and the words were written down. This is the written revelation of God. So the book of Revelation is God's written word. Written word. And therefore, we are not to tamper with the book, the Biblion. We are not to tamper, add to, or take away from what God has revealed. If anyone, believer or unbeliever, does this, then there's obviously judgment mentioned here. Add to these things, first of all. So there's two things we can do with the Word of God. If we reject it, we can add to it, saying that what God has written is not enough. We need the Book of Mormon, for instance. We need additional books of the Bible. We need additional. We need God speaking to us directly through visions and dreams. What all these individuals are saying is the Word of God is not enough. The Word of God is not enough. It's not sufficient. We believe in the sufficiency of Scripture. God has given to us in 66 books, we call that the Protestant canon, from Genesis to Revelation, exactly everything we need to live a godly life. And therefore, that is our sufficiency in what God has revealed. So we are not to add additional books of the Bible. You know, that's Satan's motive, by the way, to tamper with the Word of God. Satan's always tries to undermine the authority of God's Word. And we have to be careful not to do that. He adds to the Word of God. Originally in the garden, remember, he told Eve, picked up on this idea about the tree. We can't eat it. We can't even touch it. Well, I don't see anywhere in the text where God says not to touch. So we're adding to the Word of God. And then Satan said, you will not surely die. So he's taking away from God's Word. So right at the beginning of the book of Genesis, we have Satan taking away from the authority of God what God spoke. And then, obviously, through Eve, adding to God's Word. And we have to be careful not to do either one, not to add to it or take away from what it is written. So, we have here a common characteristic, by the way. J.B. Hickson says this, a common characteristic of cults and religions that profess to be Christian is that they invariably add to the Bible other books, creeds, decisions, or councils, or inspired writings of their founders or leaders. And they put these on a par with God's Word, such as the Book of Mormon, and so-called lost books of the Bible. There are no lost books of the Bible. there are no missing books of the Bible. There's perfect, when you study the book, when you study the Bible as literature, there's nothing missing in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It's a perfect revelation. It's a complete revelation. You know, it's the most amazing book ever written. 40-some different authors over a period of 1,500 years, and yet there's perfect internal harmony and integrity. How can you accomplish that through human means? You know, this shows you clearly that this is God's authoritative word. There's nothing else like it. The Book of Mormon or, you know, the book of the Quran or any other religious book just not even, doesn't even come close. Doesn't even come close to the beauty, the symmetry, you know, of God's perfect revelation. But invariably, in order to take away from the Word of God, you know, church councils, church creeds, although they can be helpful in interpreting the Word of God, but if you take the church creed or council above what God has revealed, then there's a problem. Here's a problem. And so even within those who would accept the Bible, there are those, let's say the Roman Catholic position, the 66 books of the canon is not enough. We need the Apocrypha. So really, in essence, they're adding to God's Word in that sense. You're adding to God's Word. They're not saying that, they're saying that what God has revealed is not enough. And by the way, they didn't do that until the Reformers were teaching justification by faith, and some of the teachings of the Catholic Church they were rejecting. And so they had to add the Apocrypha, which includes some false teaching, to justify their actions. Look at church history. The Apocrypha wasn't even seriously considered until later on in church history. Anything like that that would say that, you know, God's word is not on a par with any other, or God's word is something that is not enough, then we need to watch out. Dr. Wahlberg says this: no one can dare add to the word of God except in blatant unbelief and denial that the word is indeed God's own message to man. Likewise, no one should dare take away from the words of the book, since to do so is to do despite to the inspired word of God. And Satan did this once again, by the way. We study in Matthew chapter 4, Satan, tried to get Jesus to do things that were contradictory to the word of God. And one verse he misquoted, "He shall give his angels charge over thee, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So jump off this temple." God will protect you. It's in the Psalms, right? Just jump off the temple. And therefore, God will protect you. Obviously, he misapplied that text. He took away from what it said. It says in all your ways. He conveniently left that out, meaning that God will protect you as you're walking in obedience to him. He left that out. God will not blindly protect you if you jump out in front of a car or do something stupid. You might go to heaven early if you're a believer. You'll fall under judgment. So Satan always tries to take away from God's authority or add to the word of God. On another note, the canon of scripture here is closed. I think, although there's some say, well, it really doesn't teach the canon of scripture is closed, I think it does, because he's talking about prophecy, and this is near the end of the Bible, obviously. So I think it's not only the book of Revelation that he's describing here, but I think basically he's indicating there's no further prophetic revelation to be given. We have a perfect close to the Bible. We have the opening of the Bible in the beginning, and now in the eternal, we have in the end, in the eternal state, the new heavens and new earth. Perfect closing to the book. What else is there to be written, you know? So he indicates clearly that there are no other books that are written. And this is a lie, by the way, that's promoted. And it was, Ronnie Howard. We like him as Opie, but when he grew up, he really attacked the Word of God and some of his further movies. That movie he produced that really was attack on God's Word? Da Vinci Code, there it is, Da Vinci Code. Yeah, that is a blatant misrepresentation of the Bible. So, his idea is, well, you know, men in early church history got together and decided the winners and losers of the Bible, and therefore, you know, it's not really God's choice. And this is all false. You know, why shouldn't these Gnostic books be included, right? Like they stand on an equal par with the Bible. Gnostic writings, like the Gospel of Thomas, with the name Thomas, 300 years after he died, or 200 years after he died. I was like, really? Then you have what we call the pseudepigrapha. We have individuals claiming to be authors of the Bible. They use biblical names for credibility, but they live long after the individuals have reigned. You know, you can study almost all the books, and you can find out the authors, and they were there living, and they wrote those things while they were alive. And therefore, you know, to have some dead guy claiming your name writing 200 years later, imagine someone using your name who lives 200 years later and claiming that you're the one who said these things. I mean, that's just incredible. Incredible. So the early church looked at a lot of things. They looked at, what was accepted by the church. The church was using Paul's epistles, Ephesians. They were using these things. They were looking at consistency, internal consistency with other books of the Bible. Did they teach contradictory things, blatant contradictions with other scripture? They had a list of criteria to see whether this would be accepted into the canon. Now, keep in mind, when we talk about canonicity, when those books were written, they were, at that point, God's authoritative word. The church is just looking, confirming that. See, it's not the church making the canon. The church is confirming what is already the canon. That's the important difference. So, we can study how the Bible derived the canonicity and how the 66 books came to be accepted. But early individuals, Athanasius, I think, was one early church father who had almost all the Protestant canon listed as what he recognized as the authoritative word of God. I think there's only a few books that were disputed, really. Even the New Testament, 2 Peter, maybe Jude, because it was so short and brief. Hebrews, because no author is mentioned, but there's only a few that they even debated about. So out of even the New Testament, there were only a few books that were not even considered. So really, this myth of Da Vinci Code, the church later picked winners and losers, and, these Gnostic writings should be part of the Word of God, that is totally false. I think it's misrepresented. There are books, by the way, refuting the so-called Da Vinci Code, if you're interested in studying that. So God is not adding additional books to the Bible today. Now, God will add to him the plagues. A plague is a sudden calamity that causes severe distress or blow. There are various plagues mentioned in the book of Revelation. Most of those, if not all, contain events that will occur in the tribulation period. Certainly there's various plagues mentioned. Revelation 18, let's take a look at that. Revelation 18. Here we have Babylon mentioned here. I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues." Lest you receive her, meaning you receive of her judgment. Her judgment. So, examples of plagues in this book: famine, death, one, disease, or war. Those are all possibilities here of the type of judgments that God will impose upon those who blatantly tamper the Word of God. And I don't think he's referring to the average Joe who says, "Well, I don't know if the Bible's true or not. You know, I'm not sure about that." Or even the atheist. I think these are individuals that tamper with the Word of God. I think this warning is to dealing with a more severe case of individuals who blatantly, like adding the Book of Mormon or other books of the Bible, blatantly, or taking away, denying the Word of God in a blatant manner. So I think God views that in that serious light. Individuals that would promote that false teaching or corrupt other individuals, obviously these would be individuals that would fall under God's wrath or judgment for doing so. One thing, though, I would think, though, that if the rapture occurs today, individuals such as even obviously Antichrist is going to be the biggest one during the tribulation, who will deny Scripture, deny the Word of God, and therefore individuals who follow him will literally receive the plagues mentioned in the book of Revelation. So I think with that in mind, he could be referring to individuals during that tribulation period that will be judged for denying God's truth, denying God's word, or adding to it. Now, Lot's wife was a believer who partook of the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. Think about that. God judged rain, fire, and brimstone down Sodom, but Lot's wife was judged accordingly when she looked back, turned into a pillar of salt. So in that sense, she partook of that judgment. She partook of that judgment. Now, the things that are written in the book will be similar to those written in the book of Revelation. For unbelievers that miss the rapture because of their unbelief, they will experience God's divine judgment in the book. That's what we said earlier. For the saved or unsaved, now God will send divine judgment upon them for adding to the word of God. Now, notice the emphasis on God's word. Let's take a look back. I'm going to put these verses up here. Look at the verse 7, 9, 10, 18, and 19. Let's look at that. 7, 22, 7. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Notice, let's highlight that. All right, let's do that in brown. And then verse 9, he speaks about the words of the book. Look at that, verse 9. Verse 10, he mentions the words, the prophecy of this book. See that? Verse 10. And what was our other verse here? Verse 18 and 19. Let's go jump down there. Verse 18 and 19. The words of the prophecy of this book. And we'll mark that here. And then verse 19. The words of the book of this prophecy. So you see the emphasis toward the end on the authority of the God's word. We have it repeated over and over, and I think it's helpful when you're studying your Bible. Notice words or phrases that are repeated. And God is like flashing red lights. Pay attention, pay attention. When he repeats things like that. So we have in verse 7, here we have the clear emphasis on God's word. The words of the prophecy of this book. The words of this book, verse 9. The words of the prophecy of this book, verse 10. The words of the prophecy of this book, verse 18. The words of the book of this prophecy, verse 19. And then verse 19, which are written in this book. You get the idea? God's word is clearly focused and highlighted here. As the Bible, the canons closes. A word of warning is also given to those who reject the revelationist final book of the Bible. A dual warning is given against adding to it or subtracting it. Now, it's interesting, we have a similar warning early on in the Pentateuch in Deuteronomy. Let's take a look at Deuteronomy 4:2. We have the warning of not adding to what he commanded. You shall not add to the word which I commanded you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commands of the Lord your God, which I command you. Again, that's one of the 400 allusions to the Old Testament. See, if you study the Old Testament, then you can understand, the book of Revelation as far as, we had this prior command not